This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good evening. It's now Moitzoei Asara B'Teves, the end of the 3 days of darkness of Ches Tes Yud Teves that we spoke about last week. And we now get ready for the upcoming Shabbos of Parshas Vayechi, Shabbos Chazak, the final Sedra of the 12 Parshios, of the 12 Shabbosos of Sefer Bereshis. Sefer Bereshis is divided into 12 Parshios, and that's not a coincidence. The Pritzadik, the Tzadik HaKoyen of Lublin, brings in his first essay in Parshas Vayechi that just like the world was created with 12 Gevulei Alachsein, so says the Sefer Yetzirah, whatever that means, 12 boundaries to the universe. And there are 12 Shvatim, and there are 12 signs of the Zodiac, there are 12 Mazalos. There are 12 months, besides this year that there's an extra month, but normally there are 12 months. So too, Sefer Bereshis, which is referred to as Sefer HaYosher and Sefer Yetzirah, the book of creation. Bereshis is the book of creation, so Chumash Bereshis, Sefer Bereshis encompasses the entire Bria from beginning to end, till the end. So this parasha is the Acharis of Sefer Bereshis, the final parasha of the Sefer of Creation. It's interesting that the word Acharis appears for the first time in this parasha Vayechi. Hey Osvu ve'agid olochem Esa sheyikro eschem be'acharis hayomim. Because this is the parasha of Acharis, the final parasha of Sefer Bereshis, which means, even though Reb Tzadok doesn't say it outright, but clearly he's saying that this parasha represents our generation. This parasha represents the latter generations, the generations of Ikvus of the Mashiach, the generations of Acharis Hayomim, which the parasha speaks about Acharis Hayomim, and the time known as Akev, the time we're in now, the bottom, the last generation, the moments right before the Geula, at the end of Golus. So the question is, why is this parasha called Vayechi? Vayechi has 85 psukim. That means every pasuk in this parasha is a pasuk in the parasha called Vayechi. Vayechi means, and he lived. Vayechi means chiyus, life. Does this parasha talk about life? This parasha really seems to be talking about death. Yaakov Avinu passes away in this week's parasha. Yosef HaTzadik passes away in this week's parasha. By Yomas Yosef at the end of the parasha. True, Chazal, the Gemara in Tainis Tafei tells us Yaakov Loi Meis. Rashi, in fact, brings it in Chumash here in the parasha that Yaakov did not die. However, we interpret that, there are some who say literally he did not die, physically he did not die. Rashi says it in Tainis. According to most, though, it's more allegoric that Yaakov Avinu didn't die. His legacy lives on. All the Shvatim, he had no children that were wicked, unlike Avraham, who had an Esav, a Yishmael, and Yitzchak had an Esav. True, Yaakov loy meis. But the fact is, the parasha is speaking about what happened after Yaakov's supposed death, his demise, his not being physically noticed in this world. It's preparation for after his life. That's what this is about. Take me out of Mitzrayim, bury me in Eretz Yisrael. He's giving brachas to the Shvatim right before he passes away. Yosef, certainly the Torah says about him, Vayomas Yosef. And in the Haftorah this week, we read about the death of David HaMelech, preparing his son Shloimai to become king right before he dies. So why is this parasha called Vayechi? In fact, based on what we're saying, what Reb Tzadok says, that this parasha represents the final generation, the last generation. The last generation, generations we could say, plural, known as Ikvus of the Mashiach, there's a reason why we call it Akev. The Akev is the bottom of the foot. The top, the head, those were the previous generations. Our generation is all the way on the bottom. The Akev, the heel, has no feeling. And that's why you can walk on your feet and it doesn't hurt. If you would walk on your hands, it would hurt and it would bleed. The reason why the bottom of the foot you can walk on is because there's no feeling. The nerves are dead. It's very tough skin. The Sfarim explained that's why our generation is called the Akev. It has to be a very tough generation on the one hand to deal with all the nisyonis of our generation, but it's sort of a dead generation. There's no feeling in our generation. We don't have the hergeshim and the great machshava, balei machshava, the Torah of the past, the tefillah of the past. Our generation is sort of without any hergish, without any feeling. In fact, in Ovis de Rabbi Nosson, which is sort of the brisa of Pirkei Ovis, we are told that every part of the body corresponds to another part of creation. The heel of a person, the akev of a person, corresponds to the malach hamavis. So says the Ovis de Rabbi Nosson. The malach hamavis sheba odom. A person, even when he's alive, has a part of him that's dead. And that part is the bottom of the foot, called the akev. And that's why our generation is ikfas of the Mashiach. Compared to all the previous generations, it's like dead. There's hardly any feelings. You really have to work hard to develop hergeshim. That's how far away we are from Har Sinai, from the previous generations. And yet, the last parsha of Sefer Bereishis, which represents our generation, which represents the generation of ikfas of the Mashiach, the Ekev, which is the Malach HaMavis, Sheba Adam, is called Vayechi. Why? What's life? You would think this generation is not a generation of life spiritually. And yet the parasha is called Vayechi. The beginning of the parasha, Rashi asks a question. Lama parasha zu sesuma. Why is this parasha closed? This is a closed parasha. From all the parashas in Chumash, this is the only parasha that is connected to the previous parasha in such a way that for a Baal Koyre, it's very hard to see where Vayechi starts. Between every parasha, there's a space of at least 9 letters. There is no space between Vayigash and Vayechi. So that's called a parasha stuma. It's a closed parasha. So Rashi asks, why is it a closed parasha? Because since Yaakov Avinu passes away, the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people have closed. Nistimu einehem v'libam shel Yisrael mitzoras hashibud. What's the message? What are we supposed to gain by knowing that this is a closed parasha? What does it have to do with the time we're in and the fact that this is the final sedra of Sefer Bereishis, of Sefer Yetzirah, that it's a closed parasha? There's a sefer called Kedushas Tzion. Kedushas Tzion was written by the grandfather of the present Baba Vareba Shlita, who perished in the Holocaust. He was a great goyin, and a great tzaddik, and a tremendous Baal Drush. So he brings a very interesting piece here at the beginning, B'derech Remez, and perhaps we could expand on it a little bit. So he talks about this Rashi, and he also mentions that, which we know that this parasha has 85 psukim. Every parasha has an amount of psukim. In fact, at the end of the parasha, there's a siman, a mnemonic, to remember how many psukim the parasha had. Peh, 85. Peh el peh. That's the siman to remember. There's a pasuk in Baal Oisra concerning the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem says to Miriam, who had spoken Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, how can you talk that way about your brother? Peh el peh adaber boy. I speak to him mouth to mouth, like a man to his friend. Kashi adaber ish el re'ehu. Peh el peh. Peh el peh is an expression which means nevuah at its best. We're talking about the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the siman, interestingly, to remember how many psukim parashas Vayechi has, where if you would think, this siman doesn't seem to fit the parasha either, because in this parasha, Yaakov Avinu, many times throughout this parasha, experiences his stalkus hashchina. He's about to say something, the shchina leaves him. Bikesh Yaakov Legalus es haketz, as we'll see later on in the parasha, v'nistalka mimenu shchina, and the shchina leaves him. He wants to bench Ephraim and Menashe. Nistalka mimenu shchina. Yesterday was Testeves, the day when Ezra HaSofer passes away. And ever since Ezra died, we have no more nevuah. The Gemara tells us in Saita Mishameis Malachi, Ezra, Malachi is Ezra, the last Navi we ever had. There is no more prophecy until Mashiach comes. There's no more prophecy. Prophecy ended in Teves. And in Vayechi, the era known as the Avos comes to an end after Yaakov passes away and Yosef was from the Royim, as we'll soon discuss. That's it. That era, that glorious era known as the Avos, where there's Gilui Shechina, is gone. And the siman to remember how many psukim this parasha has is Peh el Peh. Peh el Peh means nevuah, mouth to mouth, which is talking about the nevuah of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, which we'll discuss momentarily. So the Kedushas Tzion says Yadua that the Ari HaKadosh said that why is the Yom Tov Pesach called Pesach? Besides, of course, the literal meaning, Pesach means to skip over. Pesach also means to have mercy. Unkelus translates Upasach V'chamal. So he says, B'derech Remez, that Pesach is Pesach, the mouth that speaks. Soch, Samaches, means in Aramaic to talk, or Sicha means to speak. Pesach, the mouth that talks, because in Golus, the Dibur is in Golus. That means in Golus, we can't talk. He quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ne'lamti Dumia, and many other Pesukim in Tanakh that indicate that in Golus, our mouths are closed. We can't speak the way we would like. We can't daven the way we would like, praise Hashem the way we would like. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. But when they were redeemed, their speech was redeemed. Pesach, now we can talk. That's what the Yom Tov of Pesach is all about, talking. V'higadat olavincha. The Manishtana, you have to talk, you have to ask questions. Hallel, they said Hallel at night, not only by day. Hallel when they brought the Korban Pesach. So he goes on, he says, Parshas Vayechi has 85 psukim, which the word is peh, and a simon to remember how many psukim peh. And in Parshas Vayigash, there are 106 psukim. If you add 106 to 85, it's 191. But, he says, because Vayechi and Vayigash are basically touching each other, there's no space in between, you could actually read the last pasuk in Vayigash as the first pasuk of Vayechi. It's like one long, like a run-on sentence. There's nothing separating, there's no period, and there's no space. So you can connect Vayigash to Vayechi. And if the last pasuk of Vayigash and the first pasuk of Vayechi are read as one pasuk, between the two you have 190 psukim. Not 191, 190 psukim. Equal to Kates. Only because that last pasuk and the first pasuk of Vayechi are separated. So it's 106 plus 85, 191. But if you connect those, the last pasuk of Vayigash to the first pasuk of Vayechi, you got 190. And it's all one parsha. However, so B'derech Remez, he's saying that Rashi's asking, why is the parsha Stuma, that there is no separation between the two? In other words, why is Vayechi yet a separate parsha and not connected to Vayigash, and it should be one long parsha? So in other words, Rashi's telling you, because when Yaakov was Nifter, the Shibud began, at least the spiritual bondage began, and the Dibur is in Golus. No longer can we talk the way we want. No longer can we praise Hashem the way we want. Can we daven the way we want? Learn the way we want? So it's not connected. They're separate. So it's an 85 pasuk parsha with 106 pasuk parsha, and it's closed. So 85 klo peh sosum. The mouth has been closed. The parsha of 85 psukim is closed. Parsha Stuma. And eventually Hashem reveals himself to us later on that Pesach, the mouth opens up again when they're redeemed from Mitzrayim. So he says, Yaakov Avinu wanted to alleviate the Shibud and that the Dibur should not be in Golus. So he wanted to connect the two parshas, Vayigash and Vayechi. It should be one parsha, and then it would be Kates, 190 psukim, not 191. Because Yaakov Legalus says HaKates. So Yaakov wanted to connect the two, and it would be 190 psukim. Right, because the last pasuk of Vayigash and Vayechi would be one pasuk, and it would be one long parasha. But Nistam Imenu, it's not that way. It's a separate parasha. It means it's 85 by itself, and it's closed. Pesosum. Nistam Pesosum. This is what the Kedusha Sirin says, which is a very interesting idea. But perhaps there's more to it, and certainly there's more to it. Why would it help if these two parashas are together? And the fact is, they really are together. Even though Vayechi is a parasha by itself, but it's closed. So technically, Vayigash and Vayechi are really connected. So what do we gain by that? Why is that better? What does it mean when it says, Bikesh Yaakov legale says haketz? Yaakov wanted to reveal the end. What end did he want to reveal? The question that all the Mefarshim ask, what's going on here? Well, he wanted to tell his children that Mashiach will not be here by Asara B'Tavis of Tovshin Ayin Tes. 3,000 years. What did he want to tell? I have great news to tell you all. You know when Mashiach is coming? When? At least not before Asara B'Tavis of Tovshin Ayin Tes. I mean, why would they want to hear that? That's the most depressing news. What's the purpose of Yaakov being Megala the Kates when the Kates are so far off? Now, there are those who learn it doesn't mean the Kates of Mashiach. It means the Kates of Golos Mitzrayim. Many learn that way. That he wanted to be Megala the Kates. Kate says 190, 190 years were subtracted from the 400 years that Golus Mitzrayim was supposed to last. They went out after 210 years, so that, in fact, is a joyous piece of news to hear that the Golus will not be full 400 years. Some learn like that. But why is the Torah telling this to us over here? And what is the purpose? Why is Yaakov doing this? This parasha has in it many topics, including the brachos that were given to all the Shvatim. And among the Shvatim, one of the brachos that were given, of course, was to Don. Don is the lowest of the Shvatim. The Ari HaKadosh tells us that Teves represents Don. The month we're in now, and now we enter Tkufas Teves, especially coming from Asara B'Teves. It's after Hanukkah now. Asara B'Teves is not like a regular fast day. Kemavua in Avudraham and Poiskim, Asara B'Teves has the same status to some degree as Yom HaKippurim. It's like Mitzvah Yom Kippur now. We were zeichet today to a kapara. Asara B'Teves is an ace rotzayin, like every fast is an ace rotzayin. And Asara B'Teves even more in a way, and it's a very chomer fast, because it says it's the only fast that if it would fall out on Shabbos, so says the Avudraham, you would have to fast. So that's why when they made the calendar, they made sure that it never falls out on Shabbos, and it can never fall out on Shabbos. Every other fast day could, but it gets pushed off. Asara B'Teves would not be pushed off. But interestingly, it is the only fast day that could fall out on a Friday. And it does sometimes. And then you do fast. And the Avudraham, even though it's not a Chazal, the Avudraham and other poskim also compare it to Yom HaKippurim, which Yom Kippur is Doicha Shabbos, where it says the phrase, Be'etzem HaYoim HaZeh, and it says by Asara B'Teves in Yecheskel also, Be'etzem HaYoim HaZeh. So there is a parallel between Yom Kippur and Asara B'Teves. And we now find ourselves Moitzo'ei Asara B'Teves after the 3 days of Choshech, of Ches Tes Yud, the day that the Torah was translated into Greek, Ezra HaSeifer's passing, the city of Yerushalayim placed in the siege, Samach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim, and according to some, the birth of Oisei HaIsh, which was Tes Teves, some say. Oisei HaIsh is Begematria Chodesh Teves. We now enter Tkufas Teves, known as in Chazal as the Lele Teves Ho'aruchen, the long, dark, cold, frigid nights of Teves, a time of concealment, and it's considered from the lowest months of the year, and perhaps even lower than Tammuz. Tammuz is the sister month of Teves, because Tammuz at least has long days, short nights. Teves has very long nights. So Teves is represented by Dun, the lowest of the Shvatim. We find throughout Tanakh, the sinners were usually from Shevet Dun. The Niflotim, those who were spat out of the cloud, and the Echesholim that we read about in the parasha of Amalek, were from Shevet Dun, Kemavur, and Targum Yonison from Chazal, in parashas Kiseitse, Pesel Micha, and so on. Dun was the lowest of the Shvatim. Rashi says in the parashas of Ayakel, Dun was min ha-Yerudin Shebeshvatim, from the most downtrodden, from the Bnei Bilha, the lowest of the Shvatim. He represents Teves. And in the bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Don, he says, Yehi Don nochosh alei derech. Don is compared to a snake, but not in a bad way, really. But as Chazal tell us, and Rashi brings it here, it's talking about Shimshon, who was the Shoifet of Klal Yisrael, who was from Shevet Don. He was from Mimishpachas Adoni. And he's compared to a snake because he camouflaged himself among the enemy, Kemavur, in the Pesukim and Parshas Shoifdim. But Chazal tell us an amazing thing here. Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu saw Beruach Kotshoi. He saw Shimshon coming out of Dun, and he thought that Shimshon was Mashiach. Nochosh is Begematria Mashiach, because Mashiach is going to be Mesake in the Chet of the Nochosh. He saw Shimshon doing something which no one else did. Shimshon went down. Vayered Shimshon Timnos. He went down into the Imkei HaKlipos. He even married from the non-Jewish women. He was Megaya them, obviously, but he married non-Jewish women, entered into the land, into the culture of the Plishtim to take out sparks of Kedusha. He did something that no one else dared to do, which is what Mashiach is going to do. Mashiach is going to go into the Imkei HaKlipos and bring out every single Jew. There will be no Jew left behind. As the Pasuk says, Levilti Yidach Mimenu Nidach. Nochosh Alei Derech is Begematria Levilti Yidach Mimenu Nidach. That's the Pe'ula of Mashiach. Yaakov saw that. But when Yaakov saw that Shimshon was killed, we know at the end Shimshon was killed. He said that he cannot be Mashiach. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. And there he says the famous pasuk of Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Says the Avodas Yisroel, that's the Kashrut Samaga. The Kashrut Samaga says in this week's parasha that if you take a look, you'll notice in Parshas Miketz and Vayigash, the word Yudke Vavke, Hashem's name, is not found even once. When Hashem is mentioned, he's described as Elohim, not Yudke Vavke. The first time that it says Yudke Vavke after Parshas Vayeshev, he says, is in the bracha here that Yaakov gave to Don. Lishuascha kivisi havaya, lishuascha kivisi yudkei vavkei. So first he explains why Hashem's name yudkei vavkei does not appear in Miketz and Vayigash. He says, because those are parshiyos of concealment. The golus begins, the dreams in Miketz indicate that the Klal Yisrael are going to come down to Mitzrayim, and the whole story with Yosef and the brothers, and it continues in Vayigash, and Yaakov has to go down with the 70 nefashas. That's last week. And the Vayichi actually intensifies, it gets even worse, and there's up until we come to here, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem, oh, there's hope. So Hashem inserts his name over here, the Geula is coming. Very difficult to understand. Why it doesn't say Yudkei Vavkei Miketz Svayigash, we can understand. But why in the bracha that Yaakov gives to Don of all the Shvatim, that's where Yudkei Vavkei appears? If anything, you're talking about Mashiach, you're talking about the Geula, it should be in the bracha given to Yehuda. Malchus Beis David comes from Yehuda. Mashiach comes from Yehuda, not from Dan. True, Yaakov thought that maybe it was Shimshon, but it's not. So, who is it? It's Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda U'Mechaykek Mi Bein Raglov Ad Ki Yovei Shiloi. Shiloi, this is the first time ever that the identity of Mashiach, the individual that we refer to as the Messiah, mentioned for the first time in the Chumash is in Parashas Vayechi, right here. Till now, the Torah never says, at least not straight out. There could be B'derech Remez. But where does the Torah say straight out? That Lo Yosser Shevet Mi Yehuda, that there'll always be rulership and kings. Ad Ki Yovei Shiloi, as the Baal HaTurim says, Yovei Shiloi is B'gematria Mashiach. But as Rashi says, Pshutai Shel Mikra, who's Shiloi? Melech HaMashiach Sheh Melucha Sheloi. And so says Unkelus. So that's where Yud Kei Vav Kei should be, in the bracha that Yaakov gives to Yehuda. Not to Don. Yehuda, from the greatest of the Shvatim, to Don, the lowest of the Shvatim, the first time Yudkei Vavkei is mentioned. Every month, as we mention in these Shiurim, and particularly in the Shiurim of Rosh Chodesh, has a particular Siruf Shem Havaya, a combination of Hashem's name that is derived from either from four words, either the first four letters or the last four letters, the acronym or the Sefer Tevis. Yudkei Vavkei can be spelled many different ways. Yudkei Vavkei, Hey Vav, Hey Yud, Yudkei, all different ways. And every month has a particular tseiruf. The tseiruf of Teves, also interestingly, has Hashem's name in it besides the LaHashem Iti Underoimim HaShemoi. That phrase, which talks about praising Hashem, as we talked about last week, that's the tseiruf Shem Havaya of Chodesh Teves. So the last letters is Yudkei Vavkei backwards, indicating Midas Adin. But it starts with the word LaHashem. LaHashem Iti Unaroimim HaShemoi. Of all months, Teves is privileged not only to have Yudkei Vavkei as the last letters backwards of its combination, but the first word of the four words is LaHashem. La Yudkei Vavkei. Similar to the question we're asking here. And the bracha of Don, Lishuascha Kivisi Yudkei Vavkei, the first time Yudkei Vavkei is mentioned in the bracha of Don, who represents Teves, but in the combination of Hashem's name for Teves, you see it as well. So why is it that way? Talking about combinations of Hashem's name, there's a very interesting phenomenon that I just noticed today concerning the Tseirufei Shem Havaya. Parshas Vayechi is the only parsha of the entire Chumash that contains two of the combinations of Hashem's name of the 12. There is no parsha in Chumash that has two of the 12. Which two? The Tziruf of Kislev and the Tziruf of Adar, Chanukah and Purim, are both in Parshas Vayechi. The Tziruf Shem Havaya of Kislev is Vayar Yoshev Ha'oretz HaKenani. That's the Tziruf of Kislev. That's in this parasha. And the Tziruf of Adar is Iroi V'lasoi Reiko B'ni Asoina in the Bracha of Yehuda, about wine And that's also, why does Vayechi have the, everything is Bahashkocha, these are no coincidences here. Why is it that the combination of Hashem's name for Kislev and Adar, that's Hanukkah and Purim, are in Parshas Vayechi of all Parshas? There must be a reason. So in order to understand all of this, based on what the Pritzadik tells us, that this parsha represents the final, the last generations, the acharis, the most difficult time in history, the end of time, the acharis, a time of confusion, a time of concealment, a time where there's no nevuah, we don't have a navi, any tano yadea admo, as David HaMelech writes in Tehillim concerning this generation. It's a parsha stuma, it's a closed parsha. Pesosum, as we quoted from the Kedusha Tzion. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Dalid, so the Gemara says that about every letter of the Aleph Beis, Ramazim, Aleph Beis is Aleph Bina, and Gimel Dalid is Goimel Dalim, the famous Gemara here that talks about the Ramazim of the Aleph Beis. When it comes to the Pei, so there's a Pei Kfufa, and a Pei Pshuta, what we call a regular Pei and an end of Pei. So the Gemara says, Pei Pasuach, Pei Sosum, an open mouth, and a closed mouth. Those are the two pays in the Aleph Beis. Says the Marsha. The closed mouth is the fetus in utero. The Gemara says in Nida Daf Lamed, the famous Gemara, that what the Chazal knew, what without the sonograms, they knew what the fetus looks like in utero. And in utero, we know that a fetus, the mouth is closed. It has to be closed. And all the sustenance is through the navel, through the umbilical cord. So it's Pesosum. The moment the baby is born, it's pe'posuach. The mouth has to open. That's why they smack the baby sometimes. The mouth has to open. The navel closes. That's she'imi poseach echad mehem, or yisoseim echad mehem, which we say in Asher Yotzer refers to that. Yefshel hiskayim v'lamed afilu sho'echos. Ro'yfech ol bostru ma'afli lasek. So says the Marsha that the closed mouth, the pe'sosum, is the vlad b'mei imoy, where he's taught the entire Torah, but only in thought. Be'iyun, can't talk, so it's not b'shlemus. Torah has to be learned with the mouth. You have to say it out. Might see ehem b'peh. If you're not, you forget it. Torah is not like when they lahavda, when they tell you to read a book, you're supposed to read it, not with your lips. Torah you're supposed to learn with your lips. You're supposed to say it out. You have to utter it with your mouth. Might see ehem b'peh. So when the baby is born, the mouth opens. When the baby's in utero, the mouth is closed. Golus is compared to, or we should say a baby in utero is compared to, Golos is compared to a baby in utero. Geula is when the baby is born. The Leda, the birth of a child, the revelation of that child, that's Geula. When Mashiach comes, that's called the birth. Like we call the time we're in now, Chevle Mashiach, which Parshas Vayechi corresponds to the Chevle Mashiach. When the baby is about to come out, the mouth is still closed, but the baby is about to come out, the birth pangs. Why is it called Chevle Mashiach? Because Golus is compared to a baby in utero when it's concealed. It's a time of concealment. When it's pesosum. Later, the Balatanya, whose Yahrzeit is coming up in Chodesh Teves, Chusei Yagun Olein, the Balatanya, Yahrzeit is Chav Dalet Teves. So he discusses this extensively in one of his essays in Parashat Shemois in Torah Ur. Why Golus is compared to Ibur, goes through all the details, could I look at it inside. And Leda is Geula. Vayechi, this parsha is Pesosim. The mouth is closed. This is where the Golus starts. So it's like the fetus in utero. The parsha is closed. Kiman Shenifta Yaakov Avinu Nistamu Einehem V'Libam Shel Yisrael. As the Sfasemis explains, they weren't in Golus yet, really. You know, the bondage doesn't start here. The bondage doesn't start until after the last of the Shvatim pass away, which we read in next week's parasha in Shemayis. That's after Levi dies. Even after Yosef HaTzadik passed away, who was the first to die of the Shvatim, they still were not subjected to bondage yet. The bondage really starts. They really started working very hard, as Rashi tells us in Shir HaShirim. When Levi passed away, that's when Miriam was born. That's why she was called Miriam. By Yomara was Chayayim. Rashi and Shir HaShirim was 86 years. The actual Sheba was 86 years. It means until they were in Mitzrayim for a while, they were not doing the hard labor that we read about in next week's parasha. So there's no shibud yet. What does Rashi mean? Nistimuay nehem velibam shal yisrael mitzoras hashibud. Says the Sfasemis, look at what Rashi is telling you. He doesn't say they were actually working with their hands and feet. Nistimu einehem velibam, their eyes and their hearts, meaning it was a spiritual shibud. When Yaakov is alive, what shibud? What golus? If you have Yaakov Avinu with you, you're still in Eretz Yisrael. We know that when we're in the vicinity of a tzaddik, you feel his presence, you feel the kedusha. Imagine being with Yaakov Avinu, the Mufchar Sheba Avos. Wherever Yaakov went, Eretz Yisrael went with him. So when Yaakov was alive, and probably Yosef as well, who was his hemshech, they felt like they were in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't feel they were in golus at all, and the physical shibud certainly didn't start, but the spiritual didn't either. But mishanifta Yaakov Avinu, nisnemu einehem velibam, their eyes and their hearts. V'loisasuru achrei levavchem v'achrei einehem. The spiritual bondage begins, and more than that, their mouths are closed. It's peh sasum. There's concealment. It's peh hey 85 psukim, peh, but it's closed. It's peh sasum. It's golus. We can no longer talk like we would want to. And that's Chushim ben Don. Don, which represents the month of Teves. Teves is the epitome of Golus. Our generation is like one long Teves. The Lele Teves or Aruchin, the night, the long nights of Teves. Concealment. Chushim was deaf. So Bepashtas, he couldn't talk. A cheresh, especially what the Mishnah says in Truma, is cheresh shedibru chachame b'chol mokam she'ein lo'y she'ein me'av lo'y medaber. A cheresh means a deaf mute who can't talk, he can't hear. And that was Chushim, who was from Don's children. In fact, it seems like he was the only child of Don, Uvenei Don Chushim, the lowest of the Shvatim. So Chushim ben Don, who clearly, if he was one of the Shivim Nefashos who went down to Mitzrayim, was obviously a tzaddik, because they were all tzaddikim. But he was from the lowest. He couldn't hear, he couldn't talk, representing a generation of our generation where we don't see, we don't hear, there's no more nevuah, we can't talk properly, we can't daven like we would want, learn like we wish. It's clothes, pesosim. And it's interesting, as we mentioned, Chushim ben Don is the one who killed Esav. And it's in this week's parasha, where it talks about the burial of Yaakov Avinu at the end. And as the Gemara says in Saita Daf Yud Gimel, that it was Chushim ben Don, the lowest of the lowest of the Shvatim, who beheads Esav, which, as the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, Teves is from the month of Esav. And in Teves, which is the month of Don, and especially as we spoke with Rosh Chodesh, that Esav died, it was killed in Teves, it was Hanukkah, before what we spoke with Rosh Chodesh, we're not going into that now. So Don, the lowest of the Shvatim, represents Teves, the lowest of the months, a month of total concealment. It's Pesosum. Pashas Vayechi is Stuma. It's the acharis. It's the first time that you ever read about someone being sick. The first time, as we mentioned here many times, whenever the Torah says a word for the first time, that's the root of that word throughout Chumash. Who was the first person to ever get sick? Yaakov Avinu, as Chazal tell us. Before that, no one got sick. Be'akiva Eger brings it down in Shabbos from the Midrashim. They would sneeze and they would die instantly. That's why when we sneeze, we wish each other Gesundheit, Lang Leben. Yes, those people, even by the Goyim, they say it. They probably don't even know why they say it. The real reason why we say Gesundheit, Lang Leben, when someone sneezes is because they used to die when they would sneeze. Then the Neshama came right out of their nostrils. And that's why Yaakov Avinu begged Hashem that people shouldn't die that way. There's no time. A person dies suddenly, he can't write a will, he can't talk to his kids, it's not good for the family, and so on. So Yaakov davened that people should get sick. La'acha, living a long life, obviously. A person should get sick, shouldn't last long, but at least the person knows that he's going, and the family knows so they can prepare properly. So the first one that ever had such a terminal illness that was able to prepare his family for his death was Yaakov Avinu. Hine avicha chayla, hine. Hine means behold, something unusual. Because it never happened before. Whatever it says, hine means something which never happened. So Yaakov is the first person that ever got sick, as Chazal tell us. But where are we told this? We're told this in Parshas Vayechi. Parshas Vayechi represents the last generation. This is a sick generation, unfortunately. Sick spiritually. There's istalkus hashchina. Throughout this parasha, every time Yaakov wants to talk, there's istalkus hashchina. The shchina is leaving him. He's about to say one thing, and then hischal oimid dvarim acherim. Nistam imenu. He wants to bench Menashe and Ephraim, and he can't. The shchina leaves him. Yosef has to daven, so the shchina returns to him. It's a parsha of darkness. Yosef HaTzadik passes away. And the last part of the parsha is Vayisem Ba'oroin B'Mitzrayim. That's how the parsha ends, that Yosef is placed in a coffin in Mitzrayim, Chazak, Chazak, V'Nitzchazek. And as Reprit Tzadik writes, it's the end of time. The end of time is when we're embedded in Golus. You think it can't get worse. And then the Geula starts. That's, of course, Sefer Shemois, next parasha. Sefer HaGeula. That's where the Geula begins. Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And then we move on in the next parashas that are coming up. Shemois Va'erabo, Yitzias Mitzrayim. But this parasha is the last of Sefer Bereishis. A parasha of concealment, the parasha of Acharis, where Yaakov Avinu wants to be Megala to Ketz. So what's being gained by him doing that, as we spoke before? So the fact that this parasha, that this concept of Giloy HaKeitz is in Parashas Vayechi, whatever the Avos did, Maisa Avos Simen Labonim, and every detail of their lives, whatever is recorded in Chumash, certainly, is futuristic. It's something that has to do with our time. It has to do with all the generations till the end of time. Giloy HaKeitz is in Parashas Vayechi because that's when the Keitz will be. The Keitz will be in the last generation. The generation of Acharis, our generation, which is Acharis Hayomim, our generation, which is Chola, our generation, which is Pesosum, our generation, which is Histalkus Hashchina, is the generation in which Giloy HaKeitz will take place. The end will be in the lowest time, in the lowest place, to the lowest neshamos, to the neshamos of Dun, represented by Chodesh Teves. The Ateris Yeshua, that's the Jikava, writes that in Tehillim, Kapitel Chaf Aleph, where it talks about Mashiach, it says, Sekademenu Birchois Toiv. Sekademenu Birchois Toiv is Rosh Teves, Teves. Sekademenu Birchois Toiv, Teves. Teves is the lowest month. True. Where it's the lowest, that's where you have the potential to be the highest. As we mentioned from the Baal HaTanya, from the Shem Yishmuel, and the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us, the higher someone is, the higher something is, the lower it falls. You jump from a very tall building, Chas V'Shalom, you're going to fall a lot more than if you jump 2 feet. So the higher something is, the Yerida is much greater. The fact that Teves experiences such a Yerida only indicates what is concealed in this month. How much potential this month has. Dafka in Dun, Yaakov Avinu sees Mashiach. Dun, the lowest of the Shvatim. The Torah reveals to us for the first time, Yudke Vavke, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem, in the Bracha of Dun. In fact, the Divrei Yisrael, the Majritza asks, it should have said, Lishuascha Hashem Kivisi. To your Yeshua Hashem, I look forward, I hope. What do you mean, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem? Lishuascha Hashem Kivisi, it should have said. So perhaps the idea is, Lishuascha Kivisi, we are yearning for your Yeshua, that it should be Yud Kei Vav Kei again. We are now living in a time of Elikim, of concealment. We yearn for Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the name of Hashem that indicates revelation. And that is revealed for the first time in Miketz Vayigash until now in the Bracha of Dun, the lowest of the Shvatim. Hashem's name, La Hashem Iti in the Reim of Hashemoy, the combination of Hashem's name in Teves, Dafka Teves, the month in which the most concealment occurs is potentially a month in which the greatest revelation can take place. The lowest generation will experience the Geula when it's rock bottom, when you can't get any lower, you can't get any worse. That's where the Geula comes. Giloy Yaakov Avinu is purposing the Megala the Kates here. Because Yaakov knew what he is doing right before he's passing away is what's going to happen at the end of time. That's when the Keitz takes place. So Yaakov is Megala the Keitz, and that means the Keitz was revealed here. It is here. It's concealed, but it's here. The fact that he wants to reveal it means that's where it is. When's the Keitz going to be? The Keitz is going to be at the end of time. Acharis Hayomim. That's in Parshas Vayechi, the Parsha of Acharis, the last of the Parshiyos. Well, we leave Asara B'Teves, there's a long gap till the next Yom Tov, which basically is Purim. Between Chanukah and Purim, there's a void. Yes, there's Tu B'Shvat, that's true. And once it's Shvat already, there's an Aliyah. But between Chanukah and Purim, there's the Lele Teves or Arucha and the difficult days of Teves that continue into Shvat, up until Tu B'Shvat. But the Yom Tov of Chanukah and Purim is, Chanukah precedes the difficult days of Teves, and Purim comes after. So in other words, during this time, basically what we have to try to do is connect Chanukah and Purim. These two Yomim Tovim, as we mentioned already in previous weeks, that these are the two Yomim Tovim, the right and the left, the Netzach V'Hoid, that help us get through the difficult times. Because these two Yomim Tovim are during difficult times. Chanukah, when it's night, Purim, in a time of Hester Panim. And that's why, interestingly, last week we read it, and again this week, the Torah talks about Purim to us. As soon as Chanukah is over, the Torah is preparing us for Purim. Which this year there are two Purims, because this year there's an Adar Rishon, there's an Adar Sheni, there's a Purim Katan, and there's a Purim Gadol. Last week we read that Yosef HaTzadik gave Binyamin five changes of clothes. Ule Binyamin nosan chomesh chalifay simolos. Lekulam nosan lo'ish chalifay simolos. Everyone got a suit, a bekesh, or whatever they wore then. A kapota, whatever, a robe, whatever they wore. But Binyamin got five. So the Gemara asks, in Megillah, the Gemara asks, in Tazayinam and Bezim Megillah, the Gemara asks the obvious question. The whole Golus came because Yaakov made a Ksainis Pasim for Yosef. B'shvil Mishkal, Shnei Sloy Milas, Yardu Aboyseinu Limitzrayim. From there you learn out that a father's not supposed to play favorites. And Yosef makes the same mistake and gives five garments to Binyamin, and everyone else only gets one. So the Gemara answers, no, Remez Ramazloi, that from him will come Mordechai, who's going to walk out of the palace wearing five royal garments. As we read in the Megillah. So right away, the Torah is hinting to us in Parshas Vayigash, the Shabbos after Chanukah, Purim's coming. Well, the obvious question is, how does that answer the question? What about the jealousy? The Vilna Gaon answers beautifully that if you take a look at the Pasuk, you'll notice L'chulam nosan lo'ish chalifois with a vav. U'le binyamin nosan chomesh chalifois without a vav. Which means he gave everyone a very expensive suit. Binyamin got five cheap ones that were equal to one of the... So jealousy there isn't here, because in price it was worth the same. The only thing is the Gemara is asking, but why? Why did he give him five? Why didn't he give him one? Remez, from him comes Mordechai HaTzadik. Others answer that a father that shows favoritism is more of an issue than a brother. And especially they understood that Binyamin and him are from the same mother, and Binyamin wasn't there by the Mechira, so they're not going to be jealous of Binyamin. They know Binyamin deserves it. But the Torah is being merames to us Purim in Vayigash as soon as Chanukah is over, and it continues in Vayichi. Because when Binyamin is given his bracha, it says, V'lo erev yechaleik shalom. V'lo erev yechaleik shalom, says Rashi here in the bracha that Yaakov gives to Binyamin, the last words of Yaakov Avinu. Just like the last words of Moshe Rabbeinu were about Purim, the Atal b'moisei mois sidroich, which is referring to, as the Gemara in Megillah says, when Haman climbed on Mordechai's back Mordechai climbed on Haman's back and he gave him a kick in the neck to be Mekayim, the Atal b'moisei mois sidroich, the last words of Moshe Rabbeinu before he passes away. The last words of Yaakov Avinu before he passes away in this parasha is V'lo erev yechalek sholo, says Rashi. What happens after Nebuchadnezzar exiles the Jews? Af mishatishka shimshon shal Yisrael asara b'teves. Yes, today. After that, yechalek sholol Mordechai ve'Esther shehem Binyamin yechalku es shlal haman. That this part, v'lo erev yechalek sholol, is these three words is where Purim is rooted. So you have it last week, Vayigash, the five Chomesh Chalifos Smolos. You have it Vayichi, V'lo Erev Yechalek Sholol. There's hope. The Torah is talking to her. Don't worry, the next Yom Tov is coming. Don't worry, I know Chanukah is over. You're going now into very dark times. The Leilei Teves Aruchim, but this ends with Purim. It's Chanukah, and these days are sandwiched in between Chanukah and Purim. So that's why it could be, perhaps, as we asked before, the two combinations of Hashem's name are found in Vayichi, the combination of Kislev, Vayar, Yoshev, Ha'oretz HaKenani, which is Chanukah, and the combination of Adar, the Purim, Iroi, V'lasoyreka, B'ni Asoina, in this parasha of concealment, where the Golus intensifies, especially the spiritual Golus, V'lo Erev, Yechalek Sholol, where Mesa Olai Rochel, where Yaakov bemoans that Yevani bevoi mi padon Mesa Olai Rochel, bevoi mi padon Mesa Olai Rochel is begamatria asara b'teves. Yaakov takes the blame for Rachel's death. And as the Baal HaTurim tells us here, that because Yaakov said, whoever has the trophim will not live, he cursed. He cursed Rachel. He didn't know it was Rachel. So he lost 33 years of his life. We mentioned last week what the Medrash says, he lost 33 years of his life because he complained bitterly and he said everything is bad. So he didn't deserve to live those last 33 years. And perhaps that's what Yaakov over here, Bikesh Yaakov Legales as HaKeitz, as the Divrei Yisrael says, he wanted to bring the Keitz B'yomov. Not that he was going to tell them that Mashiach's not coming in Tavshanayin Tes, or even that Golus Mitzrayim is going to last for 190 years. Bikesh Yaakov Legales as HaKeitz right now. Let's make it happen now. He wanted to be Doichek as HaKeitz, which you're not supposed to do, but he wanted to do it. And what would have happened if the Keitz would have been at that time? Yaakov would have been the Redeemer, clearly. Who was more deserving to be the Redeemer at that time than Yaakov Avinu? And Yaakov would have lived the extra 33 years. Bikesh Yaakov Legalis is HaKeitz. If you take a look in the Psukim that talk about Vayikra Yaakov El Bonov, Vayoymer Hei Osvu Va'agid Olochem, Eisa Sheyikra Eschem Ba'acharis Hayomim, there are 33 Psukim until the last Pasuk that says Yaakov finished being mitzava his children, he gathers his feet on the bed and he expires. Vayigva vayosef el amov. Stop. 33 psukim from Vayikru Yaakov al Bonov to Vayichal Yaakov mitzava his Bonov. Bikesh. But it didn't happen because he dies, he doesn't live those 33 years, those extra 33 years. Instead, we read in the Haftarah this week that David ruled in Yerushalayim for 33 years. V'Yerushalayim molach shloishim v'sholoish shonim. So here we come to something which will conclude with this idea. What the Baal HaTurim tells us, David HaMelech wrote Tehillim, which has 147 mizmoirim. So the Baal HaTurim says, just like Yaakov lived 147 years, David wrote Tehillim, which is Kuf Mem Zayin mizmoirim, Keminyan Shnois Yaakov. What's the connection? So what? Therefore what? It was to be mesakein that Yaakov only lived 147 years and he didn't live the extra 33. Yaakov was supposed to live as long as his father. His father lived 180, as we spoke last week. He lost 33 years. And based on the Medrash we spoke last week, it's because of his lack of praising Hashem in every situation. No matter what, it's all good. You see, Yosef HaTzadik tells the brothers at the end of the parasha here, Atem chashavtem olai ro'o, Elohim chashav l'toiva. What you thought was bad, it's all good. Look what happened. It had to happen. Everything is good. I'm here to sustain you. I'm here to provide for you. Don't worry, because they were nervous. They thought after Yaakov passed away, he's going to take revenge. Yosef says, it's not going to happen. Vayinachem oisam, vayidaber olibam. But he says, whatever you think is bad is really good. There is no bad. La Hashem iti in the Raimim HaShemai. Teves, toivois, it's all good. But Yaakov Avinu lacked to some degree in realizing that. And therefore he's punished for saying, Ma'at viro'im hoi yamei chayai, which there are 33 words over there, as we spoke last week from Chaim Shmulevitz. So he loses 33 years. David HaMelech, on the other hand, is known for praising Hashem for everything, even for the worst tragedy. Mizmar leDavid bevarchai mipnei Avshalom benoi. He's running away from Avshalom. The worst tragedy of his life, the Gemara says it's worse than Melchemes Goyg u'Magog. Tarbus Rav of a son is worse than Melchemes Goyg u'Magog. And David HaMelech begins that chapter of Tehillim where he's talking about his son chasing after him with Mizmar, which means singing. He's singing and praising and thanking Hashem even for the worst tragedy. So David with Tehillim, the Tehillim that David wrote, which is praising Hashem for every situation, no matter what it is. Atem chashavtem olai ro'ah, elekim chashav oletoiva, is misakein the fact that Yaakov lost 33 years. So David gains those 33 years. David rules in Yerushalayim for 33 years. Yerushalayim is the makom of peh posuach. David HaMelech is the one who is constantly praising Hashem. His mouth is always open. He's always praising Hashem. And what we have to realize is, despite that this parasha is where the Golas begins, Baruch Nias at least, we're now in Teves, difficult month, Golas, the mouth is closed, but we can still open our mouths. And on the contrary, because we know it's so difficult, now we have to continue, just like we said last week, with the Hoidai Sula Halel, the Halel and the Hoidah of Chanukah has to continue throughout the Teves, till the next year, till Purim. Can't stop. Lahashem iti in the Raima Mashamai. Vayigash Rashatevas Yoidushim Chagodl Venoir. And perhaps this could be the pnimius of what the Kedusha Tzion said. That we want to connect the two parashias. Vayigash was the Shabbos after Hanukkah. Vayigash is the parasha of Revelation. Yosef reveals himself in Vayigash. All the questions are answered. Vatechi ruach Yaakov Avihem. The opposite of Vayichi. In Vayichi, this is Stalkus Hashchina. In Vayigash, the Shechina was restored to him. Because Vayigash is still Hanukkah related. It's the mouth is still open. The Golus hasn't really yet begun. Vatechi ruach Yaakov. Chazru Hashchina Olav. Yosef and the brothers unite. There's no more Sin Hashchinam. He reveals, Ani Yosef Achichem, there's no more questions, there's no more concealment. So we want to connect Vayigash with Vayichi. It shouldn't be a separate parasha. Vayichi should come right after the revelation of Vayigash should permeate Vayichi. The Chanukah should enter into Tevis, as we spoke last week. The Golus should only be on the surface, really, but everyone knows that it's not really Golus. It's true, it's a time of concealment, but we have the ability to reveal the good that exists in the concealment. And Dafka, in the lowest of times and in the lowest of places, that's where greatness, the Tri Tzadik mentions this. He says that Talmud Bavli was developed not in Eretz Yisrael, Dafka in Bavel. When Jews suffered and went through difficult times and times of concealment, that's when they shine the most. Where does Yosef become Yosef HaTzadik? And as a result, he's considered one of the seven Royim, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, Aaron, Moshe, Aaron, David. Yosef has the same status as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, Aaron, and David. None of the other Shvatim was Zeichet to that. Where was Yosef Zeichet to become a Roya? In Mitzrayim. Because it was there. Vatesha Be'eson Kashtoi, this week, by Yofoizu's Roya Yodav, is talking about the Nisoyan, the Be'eshes Poitivar, Misham Roya Evan Yisrael. From there, he's Zeichet to become a Roya, a shepherd. One of the seven Royim. None of the other Shvatim got that. Where did that happen? In Mitzrayim, in Teves, in the lowest place, in the lowest time. That's when it happened. When do Menashe and Ephraim? Menashe and Ephraim are elevated to the status of Shvatim. They're the only grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu. He had many grandchildren. None of his grandchildren are considered Shvatim. The only ones that are considered Shvatim are Menashe and Ephraim. As we read this week, also in Vayechi. Dafke in Vayechi. In Vayechi we're told, in the last parasha of Sefer Bereshis, the 12th parasha, the acharis of all these svarim of this parashas of Bereshis, we learn how Yosef becomes the Roya, Menashe and Ephraim are elevated to the status of Shvat. V'ata shtei barecha ha'meilodim l'chot ve'eretz Mitzrayim. Ad bo'yelech. In other words, Menashe and Ephraim were not born in Eretz Yisrael, and they were even born before Yaakov got there. So they didn't have that kedusha of Yaakov Avinu with them. So they really were in Mitzrayim. Ephraim and Menashe keruven v'shimon yihili, meaning they elevated as Shvatim, just like their father elevated as Roya in Mitzrayim Dafka, in the lowest place, in Golus. That's where the most was accomplished. Kirabi b'nei shoymeima b'nei ba'ula, as the Sfarim quote, the Pasuk in Zechariah, that most of the development and growth of Am Yisrael was outside of Eretz Yisrael. We're not in the greatest places, not in the holiest places, not in the holiest times, and not the greatest neshamas either. And our time, certainly, the greatest chizik that we can get from all of this is, despite that we are the last generation, the lowest generation, there's no feeling, it's Ekev, it's Ikvas at the Mashiach. We can experience life. That's why it's Vayechi. We can bring, infuse life, even where it seems to be dead. We can grow and become the highest, the greatest, because this is the last generation will be zeichet to become the first generation of Geula. It's Svarim HaKadosh, the Bris, there's a sefer called Bris Menucha from a Kadmon. So he says, and it's interesting, Rav Tzadok also says this from the Pshischa, that despite that the last generation is the lowest generation, but in a certain way, the last generation is the greatest generation ever in the history of Am Yisrael. No generation went through what we went through. No generation went through a Holocaust. No generation has to deal with the trials and tribulations of our generation. So obviously Hashem gave us the koyches to be able to do it. So in a certain way, this is the greatest generation ever. So the Bris Menucha writes that when the Gemara says in Shabbos that if the previous generations are like Malachim, then we're like people. And if they're like people, we're like donkeys. And Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz added that if they were like donkeys, we're like monkeys. And imagine if you go further and further. Says the Bris Menucha, that's up till the last generation, not the last generation. Says the last generation, he says, is greater than all the generations before. Reb Chaim Vital, the Arizal told us, Reb Chaim Vital, that what we are, and he said this 500 years ago, not way before our time, but it was already then called Ikvus of the Mashiach, that what we do now is worth much more than what they did in previous generations, because it's much harder. What was so hard at the time of the Arizal? Imagine. And imagine what kind of generations were before that. Certainly in our time, any little act we do, the simple, what we think is nothing or worth, a simple davening, learning, giving tzedakah, an act of chesed, an act of kiruv, a smile, whatever it is worth more today than in any generation past. And the Pri Tzadik says over here too, he says, Shamati b'shem harav ha-kodosh mi-parshizcha zatzal, that even though, as the generations go down and down, the nefashos are lower and lower, miskatnim b'chol dor, mikol makom hanekuda shebelev nitar b'chol dor v'dor yoiser. That means that the inside, the pintle yid of every yid, he says, gets stronger and stronger as the generations get further and further away from our Sinai. We see, you could see today, certain acts of Mesiras Nefesh and certain like phenomenal things that happen, and even in our time, that you can't, it's hard to understand why people do certain things. The inner essence, the pnimius, the nekudas halev, the etzem sheba nefesh, the yechidah sheba nefesh, is more revealed as the generations get further and further away, because the more concealment there is, then that part of the neshama, the hidden part of the neshama, comes out more. And that's what the Svarim tell us. So we shouldn't fall, we shouldn't be miyuash and say, wow, we're the lowest generation, what's it worth what we do? On the contrary, what we do is worth more than any other generation. So in a certain way, we are more alive than any other generation. Dafka, this last generation, which seems to be dead, it's Akev. Dafka, this generation is Vayechi. And Dafka, this generation, we hope very, very soon, is going to be Zeicher to the Giloy HaKeitz that we're all waiting for. So we hope, hopefully everyone is waiting for it. And especially in our time when we see all these Gezeiras that are sprouting all over, whether it's in New York and other parts, to remind us that we're in Golus, because we get a little complacent here. We think that, you know, that we own this country, and we forget, the Meshech Chochma said this years ago already, when I get to Europe, Berlin, they think Berlin is Yerushalayim. He said, wait till they see what's going to happen in Berlin. The Meshech Chochma wrote that in the 1920s. Chas v'shalom, it shouldn't happen again, such a thing. But we have to realize that America is not, this is not where we belong. This is not our home. And see, peace al Yeshua is something that's required of it every single day. To be Mitzap al Yeshua, especially now as we get closer and closer to that moment. This parasha is the parasha of Giloy HaKeitz. May we be zeichet to the revelation of the Keitz, and then to true Chiyus. The Divrei Yisrael says, Mi Keitz Vayigash Vayichi, which always we read this. When you think it's over, when you think it's the end, and a lot of times we think it's the end with any situation in our lives, whatever it is, Mi Keitz, what do? It's Vayigash. Approach Hashem, Davin, and then Vayichi, you'll live. You'll get through it. Don't worry about it. Yeah, Hashem is with us. One thing that didn't go away, it's the same God that was here 3,000 years ago. That never changed. Ani Hashem lo yishanisi. Even though we don't have the tzaddikim of the past, and there's no nevuah today, and it's past sosim and concealment and everything else. But Hashem is the same as he was then, now. That never changed, and therefore we can approach him, and he's close to us, and he's waiting for us, and he wants to hear from us. And may we be zeichet to connect to him and to experience the ultimate geula. May it happen immediately in Chodesh Teves, Dafke in Chodesh Teves, Sekadmenu Berchais Toiv, and everyone will recognize that it's really all good, everything is good, Alekim Chashav Alatoiva, but we should see, not only believe it, we should see it and feel it, and all of Klal Yisrael should be zeichet to the ultimate geula. May it happen immediately, and may this today be the last fast day ever that we have to fast because of the Churban Bayis, because soon it'll be the Binyan HaBayis, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, may it be immediately.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.